Welcome to the Cemetery Chronicles, hosted by two friends who manage cemeteries in the Twin Cities. This podcast takes you behind the gates and into the unique world of cemeteries. Join us as we share heartfelt stories, unexpected humor, and the profound moments that come with a career dedicated to honoring life and legacy. From the Paradise Picture Studio, here are your hosts, Dominic Pierre and Bobby Schoenrock.
Bobby, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Welcome. We forgot to mention it last week, but I think we're on episode 33 now.
Yeah.
I think that's where we're at. I'm not 100% positive, but somewhere around there. Welcome to all the listeners of the Cemetery Chronicles. We're excited to have you with us. We talked a little bit about the cemetery convention last week, and we can still do that. But let's catch up on what's going on in your neck of the woods. I haven't seen you since the convention. So how's life?
I've been in hiding. I've been still talked about it last week a little bit. I'm helping with volunteering my time with some of the hockey tryouts for Stillwater here. So
did you say some of your time?
Yeah, life is pretty hectic. I have a newfound appreciation for all the people who volunteer time because the amount of people who are there and then still there when I leave and are there when I get there, because I feel like I've been there a lot. So yeah, it's crazy. It has been nuts. I don't think I've been away. I haven't been. This is my first night home since last week when I talked to you. Like
wow.
before 11 o'clock. So, you know, I mean, it's rewarding,
yeah,
but it's a lot.
Yeah.
And so I'm happy to do it. You know, this is kind of the reason why we went kind of up a week for the conference. Cause I was like, hey, if you guys want me at the conference, we got to do this a little earlier. So,
yeah, well, welcome back home. You know, since you haven't been home for a week, we are live virtually in the Paradise Pictures studio. We are virtually in the studio. Yeah. You know, I was looking at the conference next year. I'm looking at the dates today. Cause I was chatting with our friend Paul Kangas, actually. He has graciously offered to possibly get the golf together next year, back together. But he's looking at dates, so I was looking at the calendar, and Labor Day's late next year. It's on the 7th. It's as late as it possibly can get. And if we're going to do golf, it's literally 1 week after Labor Day on the 14th. That's when our conference is, 1 week after Labor Day. But that's going to be fun. I'm excited about that. I'm excited to be up in Duluth, but it's kind of tough to start thinking about that, 2 weeks out from the last conference. But yeah, it was fun to see that on the calendar. So tell me, you're balancing work and in home life. How's work going? Or you just don't even remember what happened at work?
Yeah, no, we're busy, right? You know as well as I do, right? We haven't stopped cutting grass.
Yeah.
It has not stopped. The leaves are slowly coming down.
Yeah.
They were coming down quickly for that few days we had some cold weather, and now they've slowed. You're probably feeling the same thing.
Yeah.
But man, the grass has not slowed down. We actually have two temp help workers. We got two temp workers right now cutting grass to try to keep up. Like, we poured foundations last week. You know, we did another 20 foundations, and I mean, we're just, you know, it's a struggle to keep up. And I mean, you know it as well as I do, that it's hard when all your help leaves and the grass is still growing the way it's growing, because there's so many other things that have to get done too. And then you have funerals on top, right? So
yeah, have you guys still been busy with funerals?
We have. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. We had, would we have three or four yesterday?
Wow.
One today, we got Thursday, Friday, and then four on Monday. So,
wow. You know, for us, it's been weird. It's been actually incredibly slow for funerals for the last couple months for us. It really just hasn't. It's been unusually slow for the summer, which, you know, I you can't get nervous
Yeah.
about things. Our lot sales are high, our niche sales are high. So we have a lot of our marker sales are high. So there's a lot of appointments coming in and they're purchasing lots. So it's not that people are avoiding us. I'd be concerned, I guess, if everything was down. We don't have any funerals and we don't have any people coming in and purchasing lots or purchasing anything.
Yeah.
But it's been unusually slow for funerals, which is rather odd. And it's kind of weird that, just 4 miles away down the road, you guys are busy with funerals. But it's just that's how the world works, and that's how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting asked, you know this because we just talked about it through text. We're getting asked about January funerals already.
Yeah.
So, I mean, which is crazy to think about, but with the amount of the Hmong community that we both do funerals for, they like to go on Mondays,
Yeah.
and there's only so many funeral homes that they are working with at this point. And so they have to kind of push things out. And yeah, they're talking to us about January already.
Which is
So.
crazy. I was talking to a local funeral home, Mueller, actually. I think they said that they've done two Hmong funerals now, recently, just because it's so backed up for Hmong funerals and the Hmong funeral
They
homes.
are coming Monday, if I look at my schedule correctly, to our place.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, it's unique. It's weird that how it all works. But yeah, that is the way it is. And I know we had one yesterday from the same funeral home that went to you later on in the day. And we didn't have the usual funeral director, which was kind of a nice reprieve. I won't mention any names. I shouldn't have said that out loud, should I have? So anyway, speaking.
I don't know if I should mention the name or not. But Mueller's going to be com Mueller's coming on Monday with one of the our funerals.
Oh, fantastic. Well, you know that the family's going to be served well, that's for sure. Yeah, so exciting. So I'm excited to hear a little bit more about what's going on over at your place, because you sent me a small text yesterday and I haven't really dug into what's
Yeah.
happening, but it
Oh
looked like you
yeah.
had some activity at about 4 a.m. on
We
Sunday or
did,
Monday
yeah,
morning.
we did. And actually it was about three, between 3 and 3:15. We had a couple of burglars decided they wanted to wreak some havoc at the cemetery. So they tried to get into both sheds. They were couldn't get into either shed, but broke the lock on the one shed, which is just tarps and seed and stuff in there. Broke the door handle on our leaf truck, the passenger side,
What were they
and
trying to get in the? They're trying to see if there's anything in the truck.
so I tools is what I think they were looking for. They got into our shop, which should be the hardest door to get into,
Yeah.
in my opinion, and it is. Like I even went back with the cop, and we like just tried to see if we could get a knife in there, but it was so the door is so tight you couldn't even get a knife in there to try to see. So somehow they got into the shop, the back door. They made it in there for, I don't know, 15, 20 seconds, and then that alarm is so loud that
So you
it's
did have an alarm and it went off.
it went off and it scared the hell out of them. So then my dad is the first number. And normally, like he would call me, but he never called me. So he went down at 4 in the morning, shut the alarm off, checked around, didn't see anything, right?
Yeah.
Because at 4 a.m., it's still dark. You're not going to really see much. And again, we've got, six outside lights. We've got, I don't know what we have, 15 cameras, whatever it is. So I get in the morning and the lights are on in the shop. And I'm like, what the heck's going on? And so I turn the alarm off and I'm like, why are the lights on? So then I start opening the garage doors and pulling equipment out. And I get to the back door and I'm looking at the shed and I'm like, why is the handle sideways?
Oh, yeah.
I go over there and it's all busted. And then I look at the back door and you can see marks on that. Then I go look at the shed and I see marks on that. So then I start walking around a little bit and I see the door handle hanging off the passenger side of the leaf truck. So then I went into the cameras and figured out because they took our gas pumps, like the two pump handles, and chucked them on the ground because we turn our pumps off when we're not there.
With the
And
electricity turns off.
yeah,
Yeah.
Yeah, and so there's no power out there. There's no gas coming, so
Yeah.
we got upset and chucked them. So then,
Well, what would they, did they have a vehicle in the cemetery?
no, the gates were locked. They jumped the fence. They came out of nowhere. So I can spy them coming in the back there. There's like one spot where it's a little dark by the shed, and that's all of a sudden they appear out of nowhere. And I look at all the cameras right before that, and you don't see them anywhere.
So what were
And
they going to do with the gas? Were they
well,
just,
that's what
I'll
I'm
see.
saying. Like, even if they were to get a vehicle, how do they get out? You know, they have to blow through the fence. So, then I watched them come in the shop, do everything. They grabbed a hammer drill and then they took off. They leaped over the fence. I've got them plain as day. And then, I won't share the cemetery, but then another cemetery, we chatted with them and they had even better video of the two guys, and it
It
was the
was
same two guys.
same two guys.
Yep.
So they go to the other cemetery prior to you or after you?
After they went from our place to that to their place. So
Wow.
yeah, so the police departments are working together trying to see if they can get some traffic cam footage, all that stuff. So
Well, it sounds, I mean, the fact that it was two, what did they get from the other cemetery? Do you know?
sounded like they got into a work trailer and got some tools out of there. So
Okay. Interesting. How did they have, so they had an alarm go off or anything like that, or how'd they know?
They had a camera, like a Ring camera, and it's got I think I sent that to you. I can't remember, but it plain as day, like
You
you.
sent me Ring camera. Was that from the other cemetery?
Yeah,
That wasn't from
so
yours.
that is
Okay.
like plain as day. They're basically smiling at the camera.
Well, yeah, it was kind of idiotic. He put his hand on the camera and then let go, and then they're plain as day again.
Well, yeah, then the guy's like staring into
I know,
the
just
camera.
staring right in
So
it.
stupid. So,
Well,
but again,
yeah.
that helps us, right? Because we only had what the sweatshirts look like, no faces. They were too
Yeah.
far away from our cameras to get a real good look at like the face.
Yeah.
And they were covered up so you couldn't really see them.
Yeah.
You could see them plain as day.
Yeah,
So, I
yeah.
mean, just a
The one
couple
guy
of
especially.
idiots, but.
Well, it makes you wonder since they went to two different cemeteries. I was thinking this, they probably cased out the cemeteries that they were going
Had
to.
to.
Yeah.
Had to.
Because there's, I mean, there's cemeteries in between you and that other cemetery. I'm
Yeah.
curious why they wouldn't have hit them, or maybe they don't even realize that they got hit yet.
Yeah.
Or maybe there's some specific things that they saw. The shops are too close to the road at that place, so they wanted to get away from it. Who knows? It's just interesting to me. I was on that happened Monday night, and this is now Tuesday night. So
Well,
we
so
had one
it
night,
happened Monday morning,
Monday morning.
you'd
Yeah.
say,
So
yeah.
last night I was on like high alert. I was like, all right, I'm ready. If they're coming over here, I'm ready to go. Let's do this. But nothing
Yeah.
happened last night at our
Well, and
place.
they were trying to drag our power tamper out the back door.
How
How are you
are
gonna
they? How
throw?
are they gonna get that over
I mean, that thing's like
the
125 pounds. You're gonna throw that over the fence? Come on. I don't know. It's just, to me, it was really stupid. More of just a waste of time and
Yeah,
like,
but it costs you guys money. Now you have all these locks you have to
yeah.
fix and.
Yeah. And well, the lot, and then here's the deal. Like, yeah, we fixed the one lock was bad, but like the shop, I still don't know how they quite got in that door. Like,
Yeah.
it doesn't make sense how, but it took them time to get in
Yeah.
because they disappear off the camera because the camera comes off like the top of the garage.
Yeah.
And they disappear from the camera. So I've actually now adjusted a bunch of cameras too. So I guess that's a good thing. But
Yeah.
they disappear off the camera. But then it was like, it's not like they had a key to open the door because it was 45 seconds to a minute. And all of a sudden the door pops open. And then they're back on the other camera.
So
And so.
what do you recommend for camera placement? Like one right above doors, like the
Oh,
other
yeah.
cemetery had?
100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I mean, you gotta be able to see a face like that, right?
Yeah.
And so we're gonna put a few more cameras up, and we
Yeah.
adjust some things. But just a pain,
Yeah.
Now you've just pissed me off,
Yeah,
and
that's exactly it.
That's where I'm at. So again, like you were on high alert last night. Like I'm checking these cameras every 10 minutes
Oh,
and I'm
yeah.
like, it's go time, you know, like
Yeah.
I'm ready to rock and roll. I hope they come back, you know, like, but it's just frustrating because it's like, you know, as well as I do, like we work too damn hard for everything and
Yep.
you know, we're trying to help people out here. And then you have these jackass people that come in and do stuff like
Yep.
that. And,
I
you know,
know.
so it's just frustrating. And it's frustrating to see that another cemetery got hit as well. And
Yeah.
it's like, why, you know, why does all this crap have to happen? And,
Oh, very true. Very true. I think maybe it was last week or maybe it happened in between that we had our alarm go off in the middle of the night. Maybe did I tell you about that? Maybe I didn't.
I don't think you did.
It was a false alarm, but it was just right, but it was just a few days prior to you telling me about this happening at your place. It was in the middle, literally in the middle of the night, 3:30 in the morning, all of a sudden, rah, 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 you know, the whole
Yeah.
place is going crazy. The alarm company's trying to call me. I'm trying to figure out what door it is that, and it was our far garage door. That signaled that it is alarmed, and so I'm like there and I'm peering out trying to see if I can see what's going on. Pitch black, I can't even see if the garage door is open or not. And so the alarm company's calling me, is this a false alarm? Or and I tell them, yeah, it is a false alarm because I just don't see anything, I don't see any lights or anything
Yeah.
like that. Then the last thing I'm going to do is actually walk up there at 3:30 in the morning and go see what's going on. So I can't sleep, like, ah, shoot, because there, what should I have had the police come out? But I didn't want to have the police come out, and then I had to wait, an hour for them to get there just to find out nothing happened. Next
Yeah.
morning, I found out that the wire that went from the garage. A mouse chewed through it. That's why. That's why it alarmed. But oh gosh, what that freaked me out. Then you tell me what was going on. It's like, oh man, maybe I should have had the cops come out just in case.
Well, it's and you know, obviously a little different, right? Because you're on site there.
Yeah.
You know, for us, like, I mean, alarm goes off, it's going to be a half hour before we get there. You know,
Yeah.
by the time you wake up, put clothes on, go down to your vehicle,
Yeah.
drive out of your driveway, and go ahead to work.
Well, tell
And
me, what was response time for police?
then, well, the police didn't come right away because my dad just thought it was a false alarm.
Yeah.
You know, because again, what does he know? There, the only thing missing was a drill, but he's not like checking the drill,
Yeah,
right?
yeah,
Like,
yeah.
because we've had so many false alarms. We've had squirrels get
Oh, so
trapped.
he was down there and he thought
He
it was
was
still a
down
false alarm.
there, looked around, drove around the back, drove around, like checked all the doors. Doors are locked,
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know. So he's like, well, it had to have been a squirrel, a mouse, or you know, something crossed and set the alarm off.
Yeah.
And then, to his surprise, he's like, "Are you kidding me?" I'm like, "No, I got footage." And he's like, "Holy cow!" He's like, "Yeah, no, I, he and I said, but how would he know? You know,
Yeah.
really,
Yeah.
one thing was gone. That was it.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have known anything unless, like I said, I saw that the lights were on, something was different. And then when I started pulling equipment out, I noticed that the shed door was all busted up. You
Ah.
know, and so then I was like, "What the heck's going on?" So I started to peek around areas, and that's when I realized there's a lot more going on here. I need to look at cameras because then I was
Yeah.
like, oh, wait, why are both the gas pumps laying on the ground? You know, like the handles.
Yeah. Well, this is probably a good alert to anybody who listens to us in the Twin Cities area. Hey, there's some guys who are specifically targeting cemeteries. They
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, I is they have to be they had to been casing the places. That's all I can think of is they had to been going around and they have to know in the during the day and knowing what they're going to do at night. But
Yeah.
still, but they're acting stupid as well with what they're trying to get. They don't even know what they want to get.
No. I mean, they like, you know, it's a $300, $400 hammer drill, and they're probably going to get $40 for it at a pawn shop.
Yeah.
I got to try to see. I guess I was talking to the police department, and I guess they have scan. They have like a website that has if you can do the serial number. So when like a pawn shop takes something in, they can put the serial number in and see if it's stolen.
Ah, so do you
So,
have the serial number?
well, I gotta look. I gotta try to find the receipt.
Yeah,
You
that's a tough
know.
deal. But that's actually might not be a bad idea too. Any high value equipment you have, grab that serial number, put it on an
Yeah.
Excel spreadsheet, just have it ready to go.
Yep.
These
Yeah.
are,
100%.
to be honest, this might be good life lessons. Might actually be a good seminar to have at a management course in the future. Have
Yeah,
somebody
for
loss
sure.
prevention.
Well, I mean, like, when we get the books for all these equipment we buy, right? Like we file it away right away and we have big files of it. But some of the smaller equipment, sometimes you don't think about it as much, right?
No, but
Because
that's the
you're
stuff
like,
that people
oh,
can,
what do I need
yeah.
a parts book or a manual for this drill? I'm just going to use the drill, and when it's no good, I'm going to get a new one,
But that's the stuff people are going to walk away with.
Yeah,
That's, that's the
exactly.
easy stuff to walk away with. How crazy. That's,
Yeah, so it's been a and then from there I had to go to a hockey rink till 11 o'clock. So it was like a weird work day. We had funerals. I was pissed off. I had to talk to the cops. It was just a weird day yesterday. But if you notice my cap,
Yeah,
people
nice.
at home won't see it, but this is a St. Paul Police Department breast cancer awareness hat that I'm wearing today.
How'd you get
So
that?
a friend of mine is a St. Paul police officer, and every year she does, they do patches some years. I forget what it was the one year, and then this year it's hats, patches, and something else, I think. But they're selling stuff at the Wild game, and I try to support the St. Paul Police Department as much as I can. So when I
Yeah.
saw that they had the hats, I ended up buying four of them.
Oh,
So
cool. They look pretty cool too. I thought
yeah.
maybe where they came out and they felt bad for you, like they hand out stickers to kids, and those little police badges. Here, have a hat, kid,
Here's what they have. It's called the Pink Patch Project.
Okay.
All proceeds go to Hope Chest, and their mission is to support Minnesota breast cancer patients. And so they have the St. Paul Canines Police, St. Paul Police. They've got hats. They have winter hats. They have mugs, business card holders, and then they have looks like a challenge coin.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Well, what else? You should have that on your desk at work just in case if something goes down, throw that hat on when the police come out. Hey, I'm an ally, dude. I got
Yeah.
your back. I got your
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
back. So next time when something happens and you need the police support, which they haven't, necessarily helped out in the past, maybe they'll step up because you got the
Yeah.
hat now.
Well, and then the turn like the guy who comes over is a kid that I've coached hockey in for the last like 10 years. It's his dad. He's a St. Paul
Oh,
cop.
fun. Oh,
He's like,
cool.
saw this come across, thought I'd come over and check it
Nice.
out. So
Nice. It's nice to be connected in the community like that, isn't it?
yeah, for sure. And and again, I called non-emergency and they were there pretty quickly, actually.
Yeah.
And I kind of told them no rush, right?
Yeah,
Like
yeah, yeah. Like it's already done.
I just wanted to get a police report out down so that insurance,
Yep.
like whatever we need to do for that.
If
But you know,
it's even worth it, who knows? But you don't
yeah,
know. You don't know
and
the extent of it.
correct. And but that's why I wanted to have a police report, just so we had something.
Yeah.
And again, like I told him, I said, even if we don't catch these guys, I would just at least you have the information
Oh,
now
yeah.
and you know where they went from here now. They've went from our place to another place. Maybe there's something in between that got hit too. I don't know.
Yeah, did you know already at that time that they went to the other cemetery? Oh yeah, you knew right away.
So we were calling the other cemetery to ask them to do us a favor, and they're like, "Hey, did you stop over here this morning and rob us?" And we're like, "Wait a minute, you got robbed too? So did we."
No way.
And so
That's crazy.
then I started texting with their superintendent over there, and we went back and forth, and I sent them what we had. They sent me what they had. I sent them the card for our officer. They sent me the information for their officer, and then I sent it to my officer, and I'm assuming they did the same. And so then they are collabing now with it as well. So
Crazy. Well, that's a fun night right there, or a fun morning, fun day.
yeah, I mean, it's just like not the start you want to have on a Monday, right?
No, exactly.
And I mean, I think you said you've had a break-in before too, and
Yeah.
like I almost feel like skeezy,
Yeah.
like it makes me so mad
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I'm not there and stuff, but it just like I don't like that feeling that
No.
someone got into our stuff, at Oakland Cemetery, it
Yeah.
makes me mad because
Yeah.
I feel like we do a lot to protect everything that we have there.
Yeah.
And then if I'm like, then it not, I'm just frustrated that they made it in period.
No,
So.
I don't blame you. Yeah, we had we've talked about it. We had a break-in in our garage. This is several years ago, but that's what prompted us. We got an alarm system after that, deadbolts, and now we have cameras. And then just 2 years ago, we had somebody. Maybe I talked about it on the podcast already. I think it was one or two guys that came into the cemetery, and it was on a stormy night. I mean, like lightning and everything in the back of our cemetery. They took a tree stake and tried to get into our pump house in the back of the cemetery. They really wailed against that wall, but then they knocked over and damaged probably about 15 monuments
Oh,
within the
really?
cemetery. Yeah, old monument that only one that had to get significantly repaired. It was one of those old monuments
Sandstone?
that has a, you
Was
know, what's that?
it sandstone or
No,
was it?
it wasn't that old. It was granite,
Okay.
but it was one that was, a die that was probably about, 5 feet high
Oh, jeez.
and only like 24 inches wide, 30 inches wide, one
Wow.
of those tall
Wow.
ones, and it cracked it in a couple places. But they, and I didn't. It was all in the old cemetery part of the cemetery that they did all this damage, and so I had no contacts or any family members or whatnot. But we got them all placed back up, and the one that broke in a couple of places, we were able to get, pin and secure it. We had the company. It costs a few thousand. Costs us a few thousand dollars to put them back up, but looks better than down. And we do our,
Yeah.
we try to do
Well,
what we can.
I mean, we talked about this, right? Like when stuff's falling over, it doesn't look good on the cemetery. And then if
Yeah.
someone comes in and does damage to the cemetery, it doesn't look good on the cemetery. I mean, we've had to take monuments down, old monuments, right?
Yeah.
Try to get a hold of whoever you have for contacts, anyone you can get a hold of, old sandstone monuments. There's not much you can do, right? Because
No.
they're going to hurt someone if you don't get them down. And
Yeah.
so you got to be aware of that stuff. And and it's the same thing as this. You have people come in and do damage, vandals. You got to try to get a hold of people. You can't fix what you can if you can't fix it. Sometimes it's just it's the unfortunate part of it,
Take
right?
lots of photos and document it, so in case
Yeah.
somebody does come in the future, you can be like, "Hey, this is what happened. I couldn't get a hold of anybody, but this is what happened. We can't have a safety hazard, so we had to do what we did and make sure it's in your rules and regulations that you have that right as a
Yeah.
cemetery to manage safety hazards and to make it can take monuments down or markers down if they become a safety hazard,
Yeah.
and you should be covered. I mean, obviously, this is advice not coming from a lawyer, so take that as what you take that with a grain of salt.
Liar or a lawyer?
Well, yeah, what's the difference? Yeah, so how fun. Yeah, no, for us it hasn't been too terribly exciting around here. We just had a couple funerals, but yesterday, but that's about it. It's been pretty slow for that, but we're doing a lot of we have appointments, and getting a lot of all the stuff that we need to get done
That's
in the
good.
office, which is nice, and we're able to catch up now on things. I don't have any extra help. Actually, we only have one guy that's cutting grass who's on our who are seasonal, and which means everybody can be out there full force, keeping up with the grass, which is just
Yeah.
absolutely crazy right now. And
I'm kind of envious of you there because as much as I appreciate our temp help, it's not the same, right?
yeah.
And so you have to reteach everyone how to do stuff, and the one guy's kind of struggling a little bit. The other guy's doing okay, and then one of my seasonal guys is coming in on Fridays, because he has school off on Fridays. Our guy Nick,
Oh yeah.
so
The one who's going to be coming and working for Union here next year,
yeah, no way. He came in. He
huh?
cut. He cut. He must listen on Friday morning because he came right in and he's like, "Oh man, oh." Talking about the podcast from last week.
Lovely. Lovely. So where do we leave off last week talking about the conference? I can't even
Yeah,
remember.
I think we were just kind of getting into. We were just kind of touching on the banquet. We had done the Cold Spring tour, and we talked about, last week we talked about how clean and just how impressed we were with everything
Yeah.
at Cold Spring, and
Yeah.
and then we get back from Cold Spring, and we got we have a little bit of time, and Dominic and I decide to just really hurry up and change and go right to the bar.
That's right. And speaking of that, you know what? It might be a good time right now to just swing into to talk about Sims, and let's talk about the conference after the break
Yeah,
here, because
sure.
my goodness, it is already that time for a break. So,
Yeah.
yeah, Sim Cemetery Software, who was a proud supporter of the conference, and he is a proud supporter of the Minnesota Association of Cemeteries. They are a proud supporter of this podcast as well, and they have all-in-one cemetery solution for you for looking up burials, GIS mapping. It's incredible to how easily you can make your cemetery accessible for the public. They can go online and search burials and get GPS directions to burials, and also what it does for you in the office, being able to find burials, find ownerships, look at pictures of markers, show exactly where burials are located with a GIS map, know what burials in front, behind, to the side. No more looking at paper books, no more paper records. To be honest, we have gotten rid of all paper records. We only have records digitally now. It's incredible how the ease that it creates for your staff. So if you're interested in more information, please go to simcemeterysoftware.com to learn more. I can't recommend them enough.
All right, and we come back when we have our other big sponsor here too. One of our other big sponsors, who again, we talked about it last week, sponsored our welcome reception at the MAC conference, Paradise Pictures. For any of your niche fronts, for monuments, markers, glass front niches, Paradise Pictures is the way to go. They're a huge sponsor to the Minnesota Association of Cemeteries, a big sponsor for us here at the Cemetery Chronicles. Scott, he's been on our podcast. We got to know him. We got to know more about how the pictures are made. It's an unbelievable process. Once again, and again, to share a quick story, we had two orders where they had two different pictures. They caught it. They're like, wait a minute, this is the same guy, just in a different shirt. And that's how the good they are over at Paradise Pictures. Again, just for listening to this podcast, they will give you your first job free. You can call them at 1-800-960-8040 or paradisepictures.com.
Yes, great. We should get Scott to send us out to California so we can see how Paradise Pictures is actually made in person. Just
Yeah, Scott, let's get that going. Let's make that happen, Scott.
All right, so let's go back at it. So
Yeah.
we're at just after the Coldstone tour. We were at our banquet, which was a
Are you thinking
blast.
about ice cream right now or what? Cold Stone Creamery? Yeah,
I
we toured that for
know.
the conference.
I gotta tell you though, I got a pregnant wife right now, so I visited Coldstone like once a week for the last couple of weeks. So it's on top of mind.
I like it. I like it. Yeah, we got back again. You and I, we had a little downtime. We ended up heading over to the bar and the hotel, and we met with a bunch of people from Cold Spring, and from a few of our other vendors and some of the other cemeteries. And we all came in, shared a couple drinks, and then headed over to the reception, which
Then we got a
was
couple more.
just a couple. Which was, the reception is something that I look forward to, but I dread at the same time. And it all goes back to, I don't know what it was, Dominic, 8 years ago. And Ron is like, Bobby, could you please help me out here? And it's the 1 year that I wore a long sleeve button up and a sweater over the top. And we do prizes. Everyone gets a ticket, and then a bunch of our generous vendors and suppliers donate stuff, and people can win prizes. Well, I was the runner, and I have never felt more embarrassed for how sweaty I was It was ridiculous. And I vowed I would never do that again.
Oh, you've done
And
it
then
ever since.
ever since, I've been the person that's been doing it. So I now, if you see me at a reception at the banquet, I'm usually always in a polo shirt or a short sleeve button up. Purposefully. Very rarely will you see me in anything long sleeve at the banquet. But I really enjoy it. We had a great time. Food was great. I thought the food was really good. What did you
Yeah,
think?
no, I agree. I thought it was really good too. I couldn't tell you what we ate, but I remember it was
It was
good.
chicken. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
It was good.
it was good.
Chicken, potatoes, there's veggies. And then we had a comedian that was in. I thought the comedian was funny. Some people thought he was a little dry, but he was a younger guy, and he was kind of a more just kind of a plain, like you had to stick with him to hear to
Yeah.
like grab his jokes. And I appreciate him. I thought he was great. I was sitting with our friends from up in Duluth, and I kept sneaking over to the bar and grabbing more drinks. So they were really laughing by the end of the comedian because I kept running to the bar and grabbing them more cocktails. And so the again reception banquet went amazing. We were fortunate we snuck out after for a little bit and went across the street to an establishment and won a little money in pull tabs.
Yeah. For a
Yeah.
bit, you see. That was, let's just say that we got a couple hours of sleep
Yeah.
that
Let's just say I felt really bad in the morning.
night. We had a
So
lot of fun.
then morning comes and I'm still trying to decide where I am. And we have Kelly McDyer from the Child Loss Foundation come and talk to us. The Believe Foundation and Faith Lodge have merged together here. And the things that they are doing for these families who have lost children, I don't know if you can replicate it or even, I guess I'm trying to figure out the best word to say. I mean, they just come up and lift up these families. They have these meetings that they can attend to. They have all these things that they can do. And she came and talked a lot about it, and it's pretty amazing.
I'll tell you what, that was unbelievable talk. She was fantastic. It was there was not a dry eye in the place, learning about just
That
families that are who lose children.
was her nephew?
Yeah. But then but just
That's what
talking
got her
about
involved.
but her talk was unbelievable, because it got us thinking about how when we work with families that lose children and how it's very difficult. Obviously, we talk about that on the podcast, but just learning of the resources that they have.
Yeah.
I went back to my staff and gave them all the brochures and said, "Here's the deal. We have any family member that comes in here that lost a child. We don't, I mean, I'm not going to force it on them, but just say, here's a brochure for the Child Loss Foundation.
Yeah.
If you think you might need something, just call them. They're going to help you with that,
Yeah.
with anything you need, emotional needs, financial needs, whatever you need, they're going to figure out how to help you."
Like they said, coming alongside a family saying, "Hey, we're gonna have a retreat here this weekend
And they have
in
that beautiful
downtown."
lodge in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Unbelievably gorgeous, it looks
Yeah.
like. Yeah, where they puts on
But
those retreats.
her story too, like with her nephew, and I mean, like you said, we become numb a little bit to death
Yeah.
when we're in this
Yeah.
business, but we're sitting in the back, and you and I are asking each other who's cutting the onions, and but sometimes you have to hear stuff like that to bring you back a little bit and make you think.
Yeah.
And just for what had happened with the loss of her nephew, at like just a simple like accident that happened, got hit in the chest, and that was it.
Just unbelievable, yeah.
But seeing her, was it her sister? Is that what it was? Her sister-in-law? I can't remember now. But having to walk alongside and just, talking about those, few days after and trying to figure out, what can she do for her and what does she need to do and how can she be there? And I mean, it's just kind of like what John Polo says, too, right? Like, there's not a lot you can say to get us and to get you to something. You're pretty numb to everything,
Oh, so
but
true.
just being there, right? So she was great.
And it was really good. You're right. Speaking of John Polo, having us talk to John Polo just weeks prior to that, it kind of tied in really well for me. It's just hearing from the other side of, like I kept on saying, the other side of your desk, the families that are coming in. It's so good to hear from that, just get their perspective, and it gives you enlightened view of what we do and how we can serve families better. And I think that was a huge talk. I'm looking on their website right now. I was just trying to see if they're just Minnesota based, and it looks like Minnesota, Wisconsin, kind of upper Midwest. However, I remember her talking, and a lot of the organizations that they partner with are nationwide. So if you listen to us and you're not from the area, you still may want to reach out to this place to if you have families that need help, because they may be able to find help in your local area. I'm sure they bend over backwards to try to help you, because that's the type of people they are.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. I don't disagree with you.
Yeah, what a fantastic talk. It was
So yeah, so
unbelievable, though.
Kelly was great, left us a bunch of material. That was awesome because most of that material disappeared real fast after that.
And
And then
then right after that, which was really difficult, I had to lead a talk about tree and turf care, transitioning from that to tree and turf care. And
Well, to be honest, I mean, you have this lovely woman speaking very clearly, a great talk, and then you come in, and so I mean, it was somber to begin with after her talk, and then you come in, and oh boy.
it was just disaster. No, it wasn't disasters.
No,
It was I
it
tried to break the ice by saying, hey, this is our day to day as cemetery managers. One moment you're working with a family who just lost a child, and the next moment you're working with your grounds crew and trying to figure out a turf issue.
Yeah.
And that's just
Well,
what our
it's
life is like.
so true, right?
Yeah, although I maybe in the future I'll have to figure out how to time those talks a little bit better.
Well, you're like right after, and I was like, whew, that's tough, man. Not
No.
only did we stay up way too late last night, we got hit with her talk in the morning that's making you emotional. Now you got to get up and talk. So
Oh my goodness, how crazy. You're exactly right. Actually, halfway through her talk, I was thinking like, oh my goodness, I feel bad for who has to follow this. And I was like, oh crap, that's
wait a minute,
me.
that's me. That's awesome.
But we had a good panel. I felt that
Great panel.
we had a thought that the panel discussions where we have, a few experts sit on chairs with microphones and we kind of pepper them with some questions from a cemetery perspective. We thought that that might be the way to go, or it might work out well. I think it worked out better than I thought it was going to.
Yeah, I agree. Like it was just like the memorialization one. But the tree one and the ground care, like that's huge, right? Because everyone wants to know what should I be planting? What should I be doing, right? I'm losing trees. Now what? Where do I, and it's like, well, it's easy to tell you what to do, but until we know what kind of soil you have, where it's going, what, then they can't. So there's a lot more to it, but it's nice to hear a professional tell you that.
And not only professionals, we had professors from the University of Minnesota, from the turf grass science lab there, which was just to hear all their perspectives talking together was really incredible, I
Yeah, for
felt.
sure.
But I'm
I
that type of guy. I like the grounds. If you were in the audience and all you do, you're just in the office and you don't really get in the grounds, it may not have been a talk for you. But
No,
we
but that stuff that you have, I mean, we've talked about this numerous times. I don't care because, like, you don't even leave the office anymore. And,
That's not true.
and,
It
but,
is kind of true.
there, I always say this, like, no matter what happens, whether you work in the office, you work in the grounds, wherever you work, maintaining your cemetery, what is the first thing people see when they come into your cemetery? The grounds, right? That's what they see. So whether you're in the office, you have to have a good relationship with your grounds crew, and you have to know, how can we balance each other out, right? They have like a hard-hitting question, like, hey, listen, we're losing trees. I'm not sure where to turn here. And you're like, well, I just came back from the conference, and I think we can talk to one of these four people who were there, and they can help us out. Or I just heard all about this in my notes, and here's what I heard, you know? So.
Yeah, very true. And also the other thing, if you're just an office employee listening to this talk, you're probably we talked a lot about how do you budget for these things? How do you budget for trees? How do you budget for,
Yeah.
the best way for turf? If you're only going to do one application of fertilizer or weed control or whatnot. So at least if you're an office folks, you have the understanding when your turf guys or your guys out on the grounds come up to you and say, "Hey, this is what I need for a budget." You understand why. You have a little bit
Yeah,
better understanding there.
for
So
sure.
I thought it was good. I felt maybe I was peppering those guys with questions a little too fast, but hopefully it didn't sound like that.
No, I thought it worked out great. And then we hit in with our general counsel, our guy, the Shark Man.
Which we'll have on we're gonna have on the podcast
Yeah.
eventually. But yeah, Sharky's always good. He's always fun to
Well,
listen to.
there's just so many questions that people have, and we're fortunate that he's our general counsel with the Mac, and that he's willing to put our, you know, his time in for us. And he's on our side, and
Yep.
so he's more than willing to help us and help these cemeteries get through some pretty hard-hitting questions and topics. And it was nice to have him there too, because again, we had a litigation, lawyer earlier on in the conference, and he was able to help him with the Minnesota laws because he was from California, and so it all kind of worked out perfect there.
Yeah, and he yeah, exactly. And he really fed off the litigation talk the day before really well, kind of reiterated a lot of what John was saying, but John's coming from a perspective of California law, Michael's coming from a perspective of Minnesota law, and he was able to come and say, "Hey, these are issues obviously we have in Minnesota and also California. So if we're both having these issues, you should really pay attention because this is obviously something to worry about nationwide." It gets you scared, gets you nervous. Always listen to those
And we don't
talks.
mean to do that as at the conferences, make people nervous, but we need to make people aware. Like now I feel like we can start to maybe move forward on a lot of this stuff. Like we wanted to start the process of making sure all the newer people who were joining the MAC and coming to the conference heard a lot of this stuff, but now we have to keep building on it, right? And keep expanding on, like now we talked about the insurance stuff, right? So I'm thinking like next year we got to get insurance people in to talk a little bit about that, like a trusted insurance agent that can help some of the cemeteries like focus on what they need for insurance and how they should be insured.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I think that would be a good thing to do. I took from away from those talks. I've come back now and I've chatted with my ground staff already, and we're already coming up with a game plan for this winter. A how to have a policy in place of us leveling monuments, at least how many we're going to do a year, and let's get some kind of policy in place for that. And also how to better record keep for our maintenance. Maintenance records for all our vehicles and all our mowers and everything we do there, and make sure that we're following recommended maintenance schedules, just in case something happens with those pieces of equipment. They're gonna I learned at this conference that the first thing that lawyers are probably gonna do is probably go through your maintenance records, make sure that you're following everything. And I'll tell you what, we'd be in a world of hurt. I'm telling you right now, if that were the case, because our maintenance records are, I mean, they're there, but they're not a you'd be tough to piece in, you have to find here's one record, here's another record, but we just need to be a little bit more concise with them and
Man,
also keeping everything clean.
Oakland's pretty locked in with that
How
stuff.
are you?
We've got three ring binders in the back that are every repair that gets done to every machine, who did the repair, what it was.
That's good. That's
Yeah,
good.
we've got our oil change clipboard, and I have a whiteboard. So the whiteboard also is so. if these, if our guys are out there. I have one guy kind of in charge of the oil stuff and maintenance record, and he can look at the whiteboard and it'll give like just a little brief which machine and how many hours when it needs to be done. But then if you go to the clipboard has the actual record, full maintenance record in there. And then we have three ring binders for each piece of equipment. Has a couple pages in a three ring binder, and it goes into detail. Like in the winter, when we go through all of our equipment, we put everything we do to each equipment. If it gets sent out to a certain company to fix something, it gets put on there. So we've got some pretty good record for all of our stuff.
Good for you. Yeah,
Yeah.
I know when I was out there, when I was in the garage and in charge of our maintenance, it was, well, I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus, but
Ah, here we go. Man, let me get hold on, let me get my waiters on to get through all this BS.
I'm not going any further. Yeah, anyway, so that was good, but we don't even need to go out over the Mac business meeting. That was the next
No,
thing,
that's
but
but we do.
Bobby's,
I mean, we have a new president.
you're not the president
I
anymore.
am not, which I have officially retired. And everyone like thinks that it was my choice, so I had to keep explaining that because I sent you over and I just said, hey, I just want to throw together like a thank you letter for to let everybody know that I appreciated their support while I was the president. And everybody thought it was like I was stepping down, you
You're
know.
ousted.
Yeah, and realistically, it's just a 2-year deal, right? And then
We had a big beef going on, and I wanted you
yeah. So,
out.
but people are like, why are you leaving? Why are you quitting? And I'm like, well, it doesn't work that way. So,
You're still going to be involved. There's no question about that. You don't even respond. No, I'm going to make sure that you're going to be involved.
no, I'll be involved. I know I like to tease you a little bit. I'll be involved. Because I feel like, again, we talked about this. We talk about on the podcast all the time. Like this is the stuff that helps every single person in this business, in my opinion. And it's helped me become a better leader at the cemetery, but it's also opened my eyes to other things, right? Like
Yeah.
Oakland Cemetery is 20 years behind Union Cemetery when it comes to like computer stuff and just kind of technology, but it opens your eyes going to this conference, hearing from what other people are doing, hearing what, like the smaller cemeteries are like, how the heck Dominic doesn't use paper? I don't understand, and neither do I. I'll tell him too, but it's great because you have all walks, you have for profit, nonprofit, Catholic cemeteries, municipalities. Little church cemeteries, whatever it is, and everybody can come together and talk like what's working, what's not working. And I know we're kind of running short on time here, but I know our friend from Connecticut,
Denise.
she sent an email
Well,
and
thanks for the
I
email,
talked.
Denise. I haven't responded yet, but thank you so much.
We apologize that. I haven't responded to anybody or anything. You can ask Dominic on that one because he emailed me the other day. I never responded. But, like she talked a little bit about, which this is the hardest part, right? Like you have a board that you have to set, put budgets to, if you want to spend money, you got to talk to them. And what if they're just not working with you? How do you get through that? And again, we don't have probably enough time nearly to dive into this, but it's a difficult question because not every board and not every cemetery is fortunate to have a board that will, kind of move on with the times and keep moving forward. So
And that's probably a good topic for another seminar for our conference, or another, day conference or something like that.
yeah.
We'll have to think about that. But the reviews, or the reviews, I should say, the surveys that were sent out are coming in. They're coming in still, but overall, very positive of what the conference was, and I'm encouraged by that. I'm happy
Yeah,
that
that's great.
people enjoyed it. Haven't had
Great.
anyone say that they wouldn't come back. Everybody said that they would love to come
Well, even
back.
Denise said she would come back.
Yeah.
Well,
So it's so I was proud.
You know, when someone travels that far, and like I said, we talked about it, and she said in her email how welcome she felt.
That's
And
fantastic.
that's something that, you know, you, and again, I want to commend you for this because you took a lot of pride in, I feel like, making sure that new people were never sitting alone, were never not having someone to talk to, you know, having them join a table, whatever it was. I felt like you did better than I did at that, but you know, having the different lanyards so we knew who was new, who wasn't. And even some of the people are like, "Well, I'm not new. I've been here, you know, I just haven't been here in a couple of years." But they don't know all the people that are coming now,
Yeah,
right? So,
exactly.
I mean, it's all new faces and stuff. So it worked out really well. Like, I got to have dinner with this a bunch of people from the Duluth cemeteries. Got to know them better.
You had a lot of fun over
I did, and I sent them up some swag, some hats.
there.
They wanted shirts, but I didn't have any shirts for them, so I
I
sent
saw a photo of them wearing Oakland Cemetery
them
hats out at their cemetery. How funny is that? I love it.
Yeah,
I
but
love it.
they were great. We had a great time. But that's what it's all about,
I did.
right?
I went over there though, and I chatted with them after. I think you may have been getting drinks, and I told them. I said, "Are you picking Bobby's brain about this?" Oh yeah, I've learned so much from Bobby. I told them, "Don't listen to a word. He's so full of it. If you need some advice, just come to me." That's what I told. I just made sure they knew that.
Oh, at that point in time, they probably shouldn't have been listening to me. I was pretty deep into making trips over to that bar. They probably shouldn't have listened to a word I said. And you know what's actually super funny is what are we, 2 weeks out, almost 3 weeks out from the conference?
Yeah.
And I think I've maybe had one alcoholic drink since then.
Well, I've had none. I know I haven't had none. I've had zero.
Drying back out after, you know, like, don't drink, don't drink. Oh, here we are drinking. Don't drink, don't
Oh, and I know, and I'm still getting random texts from all kinds of people of just random jokes that happened. And it's, to be honest, it's pretty fun. So I'm excited about that. We had a good time. I hope everybody else had a good time. I can't wait for next year. It's just always fun. It's always fun. Exhausting, but fun.
Well, especially for you, like, you know, we all know I like to talk, but sometimes when I get in front of crowds, it's so funny. I've always say this, I could sell anybody, you know, I could sell a pair of sunglasses to a blind man, you know, like, but when I get in front of, you know, 150 people and everyone's staring at me, I'm like, and then the, you know, and so I laugh, but, you were able to, force me to kind of MC everything, and the nice part was
Force you.
you you did all the work, the leg work, and wrote everything down. All I had to do was read it, so
Hey, it was great. You did a great job. Yeah, just literally. So if you are a small Catholic cemetery out there and you're part of the Archdiocese here, there's a just to let everybody know, there's there they I know the Archdiocese puts on, I think it's coming up in November, 1 day kind of not retreats but seminars for small Catholic cemeteries and archdioceses, kind of like our management course. But I'm honored to be able to speak at the two seminars. So if you are, I know.
What? Did you have to pay them?
And I'm going to be talking about my favorite topic, technology. So I'm pretty
Oh, that's
excited about
awesome.
that. So if
Super
you're a small
cool.
Catholic cemetery, reach out to the Archdiocese because find out when those days are. Because if I'm speaking, it's top-notch speakers, guaranteed. So I highly recommend
Boy, they must have, somebody must have turned them down,
I think that's exactly what happened.
Well, that's awesome. No, and seriously, you're the guy to talk about this because, you know, we joke and we laugh, but legitimately, Union Cemetery is so far ahead technology-wise than all the other cemeteries. And again, we'll all get there at some point. It's just taken us a lot longer than you. But to be like kind of the spearhead of that, like, I think it's awesome. And you know, again, Sims helps the effort, but
Oh, absolutely.
you have put a lot of time into turning your place into a paperless cemetery, so it's pretty neat.
Yeah, it is fun. Well, perfect. I just wanted to let everybody know that in case you didn't know about those conferences, and I'll be speaking there, so that's going to be fun. That's in November. That's going to be after, hopefully after the birth of our second child, which is coming up in the next couple of weeks. So,
Yeah, look at you.
oh boy.
I'm excited for Bobby to show
I'm not having the name reveal here, but I'm about 99. Well, I'm about 125% positive. It's not going to be
No, last time I talked to
Bobby.
Emily, I feel like I got through to
Well,
her,
perfect. Well, all right. With that, I think it's a good time to stop the podcast. I hope everybody has a good week. I hope you have a good week, Bobby. Hopefully, you
Yeah,
guys don't get
you
broken
too.
into. Hopefully, none of us get broken into.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, everybody have a good week. Thanks for listening.
All right, thanks.
Thank you for listening. Please subscribe to our podcast so you are notified when new shows are posted. If you would like to get a hold of us, please email us at info@thecemeterychronicles.com.
When it comes to honoring a life well lived, every detail matters. That's why Paradise Pictures has been crafting premium, high-fired porcelain on steel portraits since 1991. Built to last a lifetime, guaranteed against any damage. Whether it's monuments, markers, crypts, or glass front niches, Paradise Pictures offers a full suite of personalized memorialization solutions, including elegant bronze frames. As a proud member of the Minnesota Association of Cemeteries, they believe samples sell products, so they're offering you a free first job just for listening. Visit ParadisePictures.com or call 1-800-960-8040 to request yours today. Paradise Pictures, preserving memories beautifully.
Managing a cemetery comes with a lot of responsibilities, but with Sims, it doesn't have to be overwhelming. Sims Cemetery software helps you keep track of burial records, maps, and maintenance tasks all in one secure, easy-to-use system. With intuitive mapping, secure record keeping, and cloud-based access, Sims makes organization simple. Ready to see how Sims can make you streamline your cemetery operations? Visit simscemeterysoftware.com to learn more. Also, if you mention that you heard about us on the Cemetery Chronicles podcast, Sims will give you a 10% discount on a new software license.
For over 125 years, Cold Spring has collaborated with death care professionals to deliver innovative permanent memorial solutions that honor family legacies. Their domestic quarries and fabrication facilities ensure a predictable supply chain while providing quality craftsmanship and personal service. They provide custom memorials, columbariums, mausoleums, cemetery enhancements, helping cemeteries and monument retailers make their mark by creating timeless tributes that stand the test of time. With innovative design tools like personal reflections and dedicated support, they make it easy to bring families' visions to life while streamlining your business. Experience unmatched expertise, innovation, and dedication in memorial design with Cold Spring.